Hey listeners, this is Matt Michaels, and it's no secret that I don't really like people. But along the many, many trips I've taken and the many journeys I've had, there are certain people that I've met that I just don't hate. And one of those people we'll be talking to today is Daisy Cortez. If you've ever thought of a beauty queen making a transition to the pro wrestling ring, Daisy is going to be the perfect example of someone who is trying to accomplish just that. And today, we'll hear from her on Vegas Bad Boys Presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Daisy, it's perfect to have you on today. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Like I was mentioning, that Vegas heat's already starting to feel it. I'm already starting to feel change in the weather, and I'm not too sure if I'm liking it.
Is this the point where you have to go from pants to shorts?
Yeah, it's like that moment where you have to wear like a hoodie in the morning, and then by like midday you're already sweating.
Seriously, I just walked out in a hoodie, you know, ran a couple errands, and I thought I was like sweating like I was in a sauna. It was unbelievable. But I know that come 3 hours, 4 hours from now, if you don't go out, or if you go out without a hoodie, you're freezing.
You're gonna freeze. So it's like a no-win situation.
You know, you've been no stranger to training at FSW, getting yourself involved in wrestling. So let's go back, and where did your interest in wrestling actually start?
Ooh, let's see. But my earliest actually like recollections of wrestling that I can physically remember like from my brain probably date back to when I was 4 years old. So, and I'm still young, but currently 18. So I always knew that I wanted to be a wrestler ever since probably age 4 or 5.
Wow.
That's like the earliest that I always remember me just watching wrestling growing up, and then like knowing like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, I want to do that.
Did you grow up with any siblings?
Yeah. So I'm actually the youngest of 3 siblings. I have an older sister and then an older brother that I am super, super close with. Like, me and him are very close because of wrestling. So we both have that love for wrestling. And I think that's where kind of it began. Like, I always looked up to like my older brother, and we were always so close and always so like together. And that's something that we always bonded over together. Like, we would like watch it like every single Friday. We would watch like Friday Night SmackDown. And then like, we'd also like travel to like places to like see like pay-per-views, NXTs, Raw, SmackDowns, like everything. So that's kind of like the special bond that we have, and like the emotional connection that I have with wrestling, like in my family, because nobody else in my family really likes wrestling. So that's like something that, you know, that's where it kind of all started for me, actually.
Was there a favorite wrestler of his, and did it differ from your favorite wrestler, or did you, since you looked up to him, did you kind of follow who he liked?
At some points, there were times where we like, I follow like what he liked. I'm like, okay, like he likes that, I like that too, you know, like that type of thing. But I was always more into like the girl wrestlers, you know, like the Trish Stratus and Lita's and stuff like that. But you know, we always like kind of the same people, and it kind of changed from like year, like months to months. My favorite wrestler always growing up, like watching WWE, was always like the Jeff Hardys, the Randy Ortons, and like watching like TNA. My favorite was always AJ Styles. So
yeah.
And since like culturally wise, I always connected with like Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, since I do come from like a Latin, like Hispanic background. That's something that like I always connected with them towards like culturally, and then like as like smaller people, like I always liked them better because I was like, if they can do it, why can't I do it?
You know, you mentioned like Trish and Lita. Was there something that you saw in them outside of the, you know, well, if they can do it, I can do it, you know, mm-hmm. type, but was there something that you saw in kind of the message that you as a young girl was receiving from them? And when they kind of left and you got the new, like the Michelle McCools and that kind of period.
Yeah.
Was it like a different type of feeling for you because you're getting older and, you know, obviously the Trish and Lita and them, they're Hall of Famers, but that next, you know, phase was very different.
Yeah, it was. Cause I remember like growing up, like I always used to love them because, and they were like, so they got such like good reactions from like the crowd and like, they were like stars. They were like, they were like seen equally like as the guys in terms of like star like power and like quality. But like once I started like growing up, I started seeing that like these girls were now starting to be like put more below the men. Like they would have short matches and like they weren't as like impressive as they used to be like back in the day, like with what limited time and things they were given. And it was kind of disappointing like when there was a period where like, especially in like WWE, like the women's kind of like division was kind of like flat, whereas in like other places like TNA, like the women's were like on the top and they were like doing so many like amazing things. So it's kind of like, it depended on where I was watching and what like I was at that time. But like definitely like when all like the like Hall of Famers like started leaving, it was kind of like a different feel for women's wrestling. And I think that kind of has a lot to like play with like what would come to be like the women's revolution, like recently, like in the recent years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm glad you brought up TNA because you had like, you know, Tara, you know, and Gail Kim.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, you know, you had what was the athletic people from the WWE's, you know, remainder of that period, and you know, just kind of going over there and getting a totally, like Mickey James all of a sudden goes from being someone who was good in the WWE but being someone who was a top talent. All those women went over there and they were top talents in TNA, and then it's weird how this next generation and the evolution has happened where it's now almost everywhere it's equal.
Yeah, like now, like reflecting like upon it, like you could see like how like so much has changed, but like it was like in just certain places, because like in other places you used to see like the women get the more opportunities, but now it's like over the whole like landscape of wrestling in general. So that's kind of pretty cool to see on now and like reflect on that. We didn't even notice it was happening back then, but like we're able to see it like today.
Now, a lot of people have talked about at WrestleMania, Kofi Kingston winning the title and what it meant to the African-American, you know, people who have been watching and the wrestlers who have come up underneath, and you know, it just, it brought so much tears and emotion. But a lot of times you know, you hear that story, but you don't hear what it meant for the women to headline WrestleMania. From your perspective, what did that mean to you to see WrestleMania finally headlined by women?
I think, like, for me personally, like, I saw it more of, like, an outside perspective, like, kind of in terms of seeing, like, women's wrestling, not only as women's wrestling, but as just wrestling in general, like, not, like, dividing it between, like, oh, women's and then men's, like, seeing women as, like, equally competent to put on, like, a main event, like, attraction, and seeing them as, like, marketable and, you know, like, it was more of, like, like we don't have to see them as different, where we could just see wrestling as one. And that's kind of how I saw it. So I thought that was like a good like step forward for just wrestling and just like women in general.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's just, you know, it's funny just hearing, you know, the stories about Kofi. Mm-hmm. It's like it just totally kind of got glossed over, this accomplishment. And I think that also plays to the fact that the level of women's wrestling is kind of on the same foot. Like you're saying, it's equality now. And in some cases, like Charlotte Flair, a better worker than some of the men out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So you took an interest into wrestling, but as you're growing up, you start getting involved in beauty pageants. And what brought you into that field, and when did you start?
I actually grew, like, it's funny because I grew up with both those same interests.
Okay.
Like, I was always that, like, girl that was, like, a girly girl. Like, I always liked the bright colors, the glamour, the glitz, the sparkle, and everything that it, like, kind of like everything that, like, quote unquote, meant to be like a girl. Yeah. Like, I always liked that, like those certain type of things. But there was always that side of me that always like loved wrestling and that always loved like sports and stuff like that. So it was like kind of weird because I had like these both sides to me, but like I didn't know how to like express like either one, like as separately or as together. Like, I didn't know how to express myself in a way where I could show both, which I'm able to actually do now. But I remember, like, I always used to like pageants because I always used to, like, watch them on TV. And to me, it kind of brought the same feeling as wrestling. Like, they put on, like, these, like, huge, like, spectacles and, like, these stages with, like, the bright lights and, like, the fancy dresses, like, the pretty women. Like, everything was, like, over the top, and I think that's like what caught my eye about it the most. Like, you see wrestling, you see everything's over the top. You watch pageants, it's kind of the same idea. So I was like, you know, like I think it just made me like always want to do over the top things. But like I was just like, I was like, okay, like I want to do that too. And it's very common in like Latin American cultures. Like the beauty pageants are so big, especially in like countries like Colombia and like Venezuela. Like they're super huge and super popular. So I was just like, I remember I wanted to compete as a child, but I really was just like, like I don't know. And my mom always used to tell me that like pageants were for like blonde, like tall, like model girls, and I didn't fit any of those characteristics. So she was like, no, like I want to let you do them, like everything's bad for you, like da 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 da.
That actually sounds like mom's way of basically going, you know what, I don't want to lug your ass around and pay for stuff right now.
It's like, no, where are you gonna find the money for that? And I was just like I tried it once, and I got what they call like first timer's luck, where I won the first pageant that I competed in. And that was probably, I would say 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that, like, what was the response from your mom after you won that first one?
She was so surprised. And I remember, cause it was funny because like after the competition, my mom was just like, who was that out there? Like, I would have never expected that from you. Because I remember we had, like, coaches who would teach us, like, how to walk, how to talk, and how to do everything. And I remember I was always, like, the dark horse. Like, nobody expected me to, like, even though I was, like, the girly girl, like, nobody expected me to win because I didn't kind of, like, I really didn't look like a typical, like,
sure,
beauty queen would look, or I didn't fit the stereotype. Like, I was always the shorter one of the girls, where like most of the winners were like tall and like had like these like nice figures, and you know, like they were of light, yeah, like skin complexion. And I was just like, you know what, like it was always that like people doubting me that I think gave me like the bigger motivation. And I remember like one of the coaches telling me like, you can't walk properly, you can't do this, that, like you're not gonna win. And then Like, I remember that day, like, when they called, like, my name. Like, I remember, like I just, like, in my head, like, my mentality was, like, go out there, do the best that you can. And whatever outcome is meant for you, like, it's meant for you. And then, like, I just went out there with, like, all the confidence. Like, I spoke what I wanted to say. I talked and walked the way I wanted to walk. And, like, I just did everything the way, like, I thought I should do it. And then I ended up winning that first time. And I think they were surprised too. And like my parents were surprised. So I like kind of like shocked everyone when I won that. And then I was just like, you know what? Like I can do this. Why can't I do like other things too? So that's where I kind of started like gaining the confidence to know, like, even though I had a lot of people who like doubted me and a lot of people who didn't see me in that type of like positions and stuff, like really like say like, okay, like she can go at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a very encouraging way, especially, you know, for young women who are put in like their place. You know, it's like, yeah, you can only do this. You can't be like that. You know, I think that's amazing that you just went out there and you just basically you dared to fail. And that's the best thing you can ever do in your life is, hey, if I don't succeed, I just, you know, move on to the next thing or learn to get better. And that's amazing. How many pageants have you competed in since then?
After that, I believe I've competed like continuously for the past 5 years. I've competed like time after time. And even though like I didn't win most of them, like, I always kept on going. I was like, okay, like, what did I do wrong this time? Let me better it, and maybe I'll place higher the next time. And, like, I remember the systems that I was competing in, like, I'm currently competing in. Like, there wasn't a time where I didn't place in, like, the top five. And, like, even if, like, I didn't win, like, knowing that I placed top five, I was like, okay, like, I'm content and I'm, like, happy. But there was also times where, like, I competed and, like, I didn't win and, like, I would, like, be so negative and so hard on myself, and I was just like, you know what, like, why am I still doing this? Like, if I'm not gonna win, like, oh, it just brought like my self-esteem down. And then I just, like, after competing so many times, like, I kind of got tired of it, and then I took a break, and then like I kind of started like gathering my thoughts, like thinking, okay, what is it that I want to do? What am I not doing? And like, why do I want to do this? Because I think that's like the most important thing, like, when you're doing anything in general, is like knowing your why, knowing why you want to do something.
Right.
And that's when, like, I kind of, you know, just as I was growing up, like, I started finding out, like, that why. And then that's when I started doing, like, so much better. So I won that first one that I won. And then probably about a year ago, I also won another title that took me to the state pageant that I just competed in this past January.
Which is that one the Miss Nevada USA competition?
Yeah, so it's the Miss Nevada and Miss Nevada Teen USA competition, and that's like the pageant of pageants. Like, if you were to say that's like the Miss Universe organization is like the WWE of pageants.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it. So like, yeah, it was something that was like, it was really special to me because like also too, like, pageants aren't like cheap, like they're very like pricey. So I was able to, like, win a title and, like, you know, be able to, like, represent, like, a certain area of town and, like, gain, like, sponsors and, you know, prepare for that. And, like, even though I didn't win, I placed in, like, the top 13, which is, like, pretty good for those types of pageants because many of those girls that, like, compete in these types of pageants, like, they don't usually win on the first time. Like, it takes them, like, years to make it. So I was just proud that I was able to make it there and, like, once you compete in those pageants, like, it just kind of goes on to, like, competing for, like, you compete in the local level, you compete in the state level, and then you compete at the national level, and then, like, international. So that's kind of how, like, the pageant system works. You just go up, like, the ranks, and I think that's, like, pretty cool.
And
to be able to not, yeah.
You like, still,
to be able to not,
you still, oh, sorry. Oh, no, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, you still have, you know, like, you're young, you know, it's like,
yeah,
like, that's, you know, that's the coolest thing is that, you know, if you want to continue to compete, you have a window that's still there Whereas, you know, there's some people who intensely compete with this being the only thing in their life. And, you know, they go to the age of 24, 25, 26, and then it's like,
what, them for, yeah.
Yeah, what do I do now? So that's that's a great perspective that you have on it. How is the camaraderie? Is it kind of cutthroat? Do you have you seen some of the same people over the years? And have you made any, you know, friendships? Or is it very much that kind of everyone kind of giving everyone the stink eye, like, oh God, her again?
I've seen pretty much both those sides. There are a lot of girls that I've seen competing various times, like I have. There's been like stories where girls have competed like year after year for like 10 years, and then finally their last year they win. And like some girls that always compete and then they just never end up winning. Some girls that just went on their first try. Like there's always those types of like stories, and like they always talk about pageantry as like a sisterhood.
Right.
And like most of the time it is, because you're surrounded by like people who, you know, like have the same interests, who have like same like big like goals and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting to see like what you can learn from like other girls and like other people. So I think, and like just making connections, because that's like the biggest thing in life. Like it's not about like what you know, it's about who you know. So like you're able to like meet like different girls or like different like sponsors, groups, and organizations that you can connect with that'll like give you so many connections, and then like you can do so much from that. But yeah, there have been like any occasions where like some girls just don't get along, or like some girls like are jealous of like other girls, or like they're like in competition with one girls. But like, I've never been in the middle of anything. I've just been like the spectator, because I've always like been taught like it's not a competition with the other people, but with yourself. So
yeah,
that's why I've always strayed clear of those issues in pageantry.
You know, what fascinates me, I think this happens a lot in dance competitions, so I was wondering about pageants. Are the judges and the, I guess the, like the certain pageants that are held like regionally and whatnot, is there kind of that leakage of the same people, pushing their agenda? So like, you know, a judge might basically set up like shop, and they're in the, you know, tank for certain girls because they, you know, have been watching this girl for 6-7 years. There might be some kind of tie in sponsorship. They might know, you know, certain coaches. Is there any kind of that like inside politics that goes on?
I personally do think so, like for my honest opinion, not that I've actually like seen or heard of, but like especially like national or like international levels, there is like a lot of politics, especially with like government wise.
Yeah,
I know that exists in like other countries, but you know, I feel like there's always like, even though as much as you guys want to think like everything's like, you know, equal and fair, like I have seen some instances where like reflecting like after a competition, we're all just kind of like, well, that was kind of like, you know, shady, or that was kind of like expected. So like there's always that time where we like feel it, but we're not like sure of it. But I feel like it always happens to all of us girls, like at least once, where we're just like, that was like rigged, you know. Like even though as bad as that is to say that, but like we just can't help but think it in some situations, because it kind of does, like it's like, huh, like that was a coincidence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Your special talent, what was your talent portion that you've done?
Like, so the funny thing is that I've never competed in a pageant that has a talent section, because I always thought I never had a talent. Like those are the ones that I always avoided, because I was like, well, why am I going to compete in this when I have like no talent? I'm like talentless. So I was just like, okay, this one doesn't require a talent, I'm in.
Man, I'd like to see you just like go into a talent competition and like bring out like Robbie Litt and like do a pile driver on him.
I know.
That would probably be awesome.
Like, they probably like disqualify me from there.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Like, so obviously wrestling is kind of a talent. I don't think that anyone who does it, you know, you can't say that there isn't talent that is involved. What basically got you training? Like, how did you discover that there was wrestling training, a wrestling school, and how did you decide that, hey, I want to kind of give this a shot?
So it's pretty funny because, like, I was always, like, that shy person that, like, never liked doing anything. And, like, it was, like, pageantry that got, like, my foot kind of, like, wet and, like, in the door to, like, being, like, okay, like, I can try this, I can try that. And I always knew, like, I wanted to do wrestling, but I just never gave myself the confidence or believed that I could do it because I'm like so like small and tiny. So I was just like, I remember like just doing my research and I was just like, you know, like you'd always see like those programs like Tough Enough and things like that, like, yep, where they would like train people to be like wrestlers. And I'm just like, like I wonder if there's something like here in Las Vegas, because I, well, like being young and at the time, like I, like it wasn't like something like a possibility for me to like go somewhere else to train.
Right.
So like I kind of just did like my research, and I remember at the time FSW was just FSW, like it wasn't, it was FSW and then it was Snake Pit.
Right.
And then I remember looking at both like profiles, and I remember Snake Pit you had to be 18 and over, and at the time I think I was still probably like 16 or 17. So I was like, oh, well, that option's, like, out the window for now. So then I was just looking through, like, FSW and, like, seeing, like, all the things that they provided, like, trainer-wise. And then, like, you know, like, the stuff that they do, like, the shows they put on.
Yeah.
And I did the research for, like, a long time until I was like, okay, like, I remember it took me forever just to, like, make that contact because I was, like, so nervous. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Like, I'm going to walk in there and it's just going to be a whole bunch of, like, huge people. And I'm over here, like, all tiny. What if there's no girls? Da, da, da. Like, I remember my head was just spinning with all these random, like, questions. And I was just, like, I was just, like, so, like, overwhelmed. And I was just, like, no, like, I won't do it. Yes, I'll do it. Like, one day I was, like, okay, I'll do it. One day I was not. And then I was just remember, like, it was the winter of 2018, so I believe like around November, December of 2018, that I was just like, okay, like, I had just turned 17, so I was like, you know what, like, I'm not that young, but I'm not that old, and like, I feel like this is a good time to start. So I was just like, okay, like, I'll write the email, I'll make the phone call. And that's when I contacted Joe DeFalco, and I was like, you know, like, I'm interested, like, I want to stop by, you know, see, like, what you guys have to offer, you know, like, ask, like, question. And then I remember, like, he wrote me back and then, like, talked about, like, the trainers and, like, what they provide and all, like, the stuff. And then I remember heading down there with my dad because he had to sign, like, a waiver for me.
Right.
And I remember, like, my mom telling me, like, what is wrong with you, like, you're dumb, like, you're ridiculous, like, why would you want to do that? Like, she thought I was like saying it like as a joke. And then my dad was just like, my dad was always more the more like calm one out of like my mom, like my parents. So he was just like, oh, okay, like they thought I wasn't gonna take it seriously, so they're like, okay, we'll just go with her and then like let's see, she'll probably last like a week and then she'll be done. So we went down there to like FSW facility, and then like we just like talked and then like what they offered, what I would be able to do, da, 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 da. And then I remember just that day I signed up and then I stayed there, and like ever since there I've been there since, like, every day, like that's where I've been for like the past year or so.
What,
and like I'm still there.
What is the most difficult thing about training and the most rewarding thing about training?
I think for me personally was like the more physical aspect, like conditioning wise and like pain wise, because I always used to think I have like a very low pain tolerance, and I've been told that like many times. And then I've also like, I don't really have much of a background where like in sports, like most people have, like most people would have like a background in like amateur wrestling, right, or like football or basketball, like in another sport where they could kind of learn to apply the same things. But I didn't have that. Like the only background that I ever had was a bit of dance and of pageantry. So I was just like, oh, so that kind of like, I was always more like, it took me much more to like be able to adapt to like the way my body needed to move,
right,
and like to take away like my fear of it, because like it was like my mind was always playing like games with me, because like it was the first time I was doing like certain things or moving my body a certain way. But like that was the most challenging part for me, like the physical like aspect of it too, like because it's a lot of like, it's a lot on your body.
Yep.
And it's a lot like on your mind too, like the way like you think and condition your mind to do certain things is how you'll like be able to execute like certain things in the ring. And that's the thing that took me the longest to like learn and to be able to like adapt to. But I think that's also like the most rewarding thing too, like knowing that it takes me like so long, like I didn't get things like the first try, and yeah, like when you finally get it, it's like, yes, like finally. And then like it's always like, okay, like what's next, like what's next after that, you know?
Who's your favorite in-ring person to train with right now?
My favorite it's pretty funny because like my favorite person to actually like train with is a person who's actually spent like the most time helping to train me. And even though he'll probably deny no association to me whatsoever, that's Kyle Hawk.
Yep, of course. Of course. And, you know, that's awesome that you say that, because I think that Kyle sometimes gets a little overlooked, especially because he plays such a heel type character.
Like I don't know. He's pretty much a, he's pretty much the same in real life. I don't know about that.
I'm glad you said it. I didn't.
Like, he knows that. I'll tell him.
Yeah, exactly. So and then who's your favorite trainer that you've been around that you've learned from?
I would consider him one of my trainers. Okay. Because like I remember that's like the first person who I met when I started training and who's been there for me like throughout the like entire journey of me. And it's pretty like, for me, like I always needed that like harsh training, like someone to be there and tell me seeing how things look honestly. Like, right. I feel like sometimes people are so used to being like yes people and like liking to hear the compliments, but I always like to hear the critiques. I always like people being honest with me, and that's like the type of person he is. Like, yep, he's brutally honest, and he'll tell me straight to the point, like, that looked like shit, or that sucked, or we need to work on this, we need to work on that. Like, and that's, I feel like that's the only way that I got better, like as like an in-ring performer and like learning. It was someone telling me and like guiding me and like telling me what didn't look right, what I needed to fix. And that's something that I always like strive for, like knowing, okay, like I did this wrong, how can I do this better? Like, that's how I always ended up learning. But I think one of my like main coaches that I learn a lot from now and that like has taught me a lot of stuff is Sin Bodhi, which he knows a lot, so I've learned a lot from him as well.
And just the one thing that do not take from Sin is his makeup tips, because if you bring that into the pageantry, you probably won't get far with the clown makeup.
Definitely not. Maybe I'll have to teach him a little bit of makeup tricks.
Oh man, that would, if you can pretty up Sin, that would be amazingly cool to see.
I'm gonna be like, let's make you pretty.
So how did you then take the, you know, you've been training and learning, and now you get the next step into creating a character. What was the basis for creating the character, and who are we seeing out there? What is the character, you know, name, and what is the persona, and how has it been going from yourself to now portraying someone?
You know, it's funny because now, like, currently I am Alita, and I am part of a tree, like, I'm part of a tag team. So we're a trio known as Sky High with my brothers, Mondo Rocks and Robbie Lit. And, like, that originally wasn't anything that I had in mind, but it was just kind of something that happened and stuff like that. So them two are like the pilots, whereas I'm like kind of their like stewardess. So we kind of make like a, like, it only made sense to make me like their stewardess because they were pilots. So, like, I thought that's just really like fun to me. But I remember at the start, like, I think that's honestly like the hardest part of like becoming like a wrestler and like training is like deciding like what it is you want to be or what it is you want to portray.
Right.
Because I first initially wanted to be like, you know, like I wanted to be me. I wanted to be the pageant girl that like, I wanted to be like the pageant girl persona.
Right.
That was that I could like be able to portray that through wrestling. And that's what I wanted to do for like the longest time ever. Until like, I remember I started getting placed like as valets, like for my guys and like teams at FSW. And like, out of nowhere, it just came out the idea of, you know, like adding me to this group, which ended up actually turning out like so much better for me and for them and like for us, like all together. And I think like I've learned so much, like, even in the little time that I have with that group and as this persona, because like it allows me to like be fun, it allows me to be me but not be me at the same time, like,
right,
it allows me to do these fun things and do these fun moves and like be like this like fun like quirky character that I am, but, you know, like still be like tough on the inside. So like I've had like a lot of fun like being Alita, whereas like if I were to have been like my character, I think I would have struggled more trying to be able to portray or just trying to think of what it is that I wanted to personally come off as. But I'm able to do that also through like my character now, which is Alita.
And that's a great point. It's something that gives you a discovery process where you're not tying yourself to your name, where this allows you to be a character. If you would have just tied yourself to your name, your persona, your background, then basically everyone would associate everything you ever do from that point on with who you are. Whereas this, you know, if you change characters 3 years from now, it's a fresh start. You can, you know, go somewhere else and become someone even. Whereas, you know, if you're Daisy Cortez and everyone knows that you did pageants, that you're stuck. It's like,
yeah.
So that's a great thing. I'm glad you got the opportunity to do this.
Yeah. And that's a true good point that I also like wanted to make too, was that like, I never wanted to be seen or associated as like the model-esque, like pageant girl, like turned professional wrestler. Like, I always wanted to be able to do both of the things independently from one another. Yeah. 'Cause I know some girls get like the stereotype of like, you know, being like the pretty like model girls and then wanting to wrestle. Like, I feel like the pressure is like twice as much as like someone who doesn't have that background. So like, I always wanted to be like, know that I could do both things independently, but that I was like still me in each one of them. Like, I didn't want to have to be like, oh, like she just wants to do this to like get fame, or she just wants to do this to do that. Like, it was something that I always wanted to do, and it just happened to so be that I wanted to do these both things, and like I wanted to be able to do both of them fully and independently from one another.
And what's nice too is you've joined a group that both guys can't be nicer guys. I mean, you've, you know, you've got two of the real nice, sincere guys that are out there and who are growing really quick, which is nice to see. So it's almost like if you took, you know, three people who are just down to earth and passionate about what they're doing and giving them a chance to just kind of learn from each other and kind of, you know, grow where, you know, if you were just kind of like the supermodel type thing, you could have been thrown into a situation where all of a sudden, you know, there's just so much negativity around you. Whereas here you have a lot of positive energy because Robbie and Mondo are two really, you know, great people always looking for, you know, that feedback. How am I doing? You know, and it's just wonderful to see you guys kind of now getting a chance to grow together.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like we've all learned like so much from each other. And like that same too, like, I remember when I was like starting out, like I didn't feel such like positive feedbacks because I just in my head, I just felt like people viewed me that way just from like my background and like the way I looked and like the way I wasn't able to get things like perfectly like the first time around. Right. And now I just feel like more like surrounded by like positive people with positive energy that like are always trying to like, you know, better themselves. And I think that's something that you should have, like, especially in like this like business.
Is there anything that you're currently doing that people can kind of keep an eye out for you?
Let's see, like, in what sense? Like,
well, is there like, I mean, obviously FSW, but you've also, you know, you have so many different places around here, like Phoenix, California. Are there any places that fans can kind of keep an eye out? And if they see that you're, you know, going to be around that, you know, this is something that you're looking at expanding to?
Yeah, definitely. I do have a big opportunity that's coming up soon, but I'm not sure if I'm able to disclose that information yet, but I think it's something major, at least for me, being so like new and so fresh into like this business. But there's something that, yeah, is coming up soon. And whenever I'm able to disclose that information, then that's something that I think definitely people should have an eye out for, especially like on the West Coast.
Good. Good. That's perfect. And anyone listening, please, please support Daisy. And you know, that's the thing too with entertainment for people who don't realize that when you're building a brand, there are things that come up that you might not be able to talk about, but will be very exciting for those people, you know, who are listening right now to kind of go, I was there at the beginning.
Definitely.
So that's a great way. You see, you're learning. You're definitely learning. I like it.
Like, I'm trying.
What is something that you would say that if a fan came up to you, let's say a little, you know, 7-year-old girl who looks up to you as you looked up to someone like a Trish Stratus or Lita, what kind of thing would you tell that girl to kind of encourage her for, you know, potentially doing something that she wants to do, whether it's wrestling or pageants or, you know, even playing sports or being, you know, in theater? What kind of advice would you give someone who, you know, saw you and goes, oh my God, you know, Daisy, I want to be you when I grow up?
I would definitely tell them to like never like stop following their dreams and never stop trying, even when people tell them no. Because I know I was told no and I'm still being told no many times, even by like my family members who don't support the pageants, who don't support the wrestling, who come from like a machismo like still lifestyle where girls aren't supposed to do a certain thing, or like education is the only way you'll ever make something in life. And like that's just like my message that I wanted to send through wrestling and through pageantry, that like you shouldn't let other people define like what it is you want to do. Like if you want to do something that comes like from your heart, then like go out there and go do it and go like achieve that dream, you know?
Yeah, and I think you just brought up a very good point too, and that is you, even with doing wrestling and pageants, you're still going to school and you're still working, which is a perfect example of, you know, be committed, work hard, still study, still grow, still learn, and you can achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah, like I am like a full-time college student. I work like part-time. I go to training every single day. I do my pageants like often, and like I do my wrestling often, and like I've always made time for everything if it is something that I want to do. And like I've always like been very prioritized and like being able to like manage my time, because I know that like I have a lot on my plate, but if I learn to like balance and like know what it is on, then I know I can go out there and like get it and like achieve it.
So for anyone listening, what are your social media handles so they can follow you and continue to support and help you grow that fan base who's looking forward to seeing you out there in the future?
Definitely. So my Facebook is Daisy Cortez, common spelling. And then my Instagram and Facebook are DXISYYYY._. And then also for all the viewers listening, stay tuned for this summer as my documentary episode for Warren Stories comes out on Netflix.
Ooh. That is going to be very, very interesting. How much time was put into that? Were you followed around for like a week, 2 weeks? What was the time frame on that?
So mostly everything happened during the week of my debut, which was around the mid-February.
Right.
And I'm still being followed up with now. We're still currently not finished filming.
Okay.
We have like some follow-ups coming up during the month of March, but once everything like is settled up, and it should be up on Netflix during the summer. But yes, it has taken like a lot of time and like sacrifice, and like they've been following me around for quite a while, and it's like all these people from like camera people to producers to directors to lights and sound. It's been a fun experience.
Is it nerve-wracking just having, you know, all these different people, you know, in your ear basically, you know, day in, day out, whereas, you know, a normal person your age right now is just hoping that they can, you know, get an extra shift at work, or, you know, pass that, you know, midterm.
Yeah. Like those are all thoughts that go through my head, but yeah, like I think mainly patience, because you have people telling you to film a certain thing like 6 times and you got to do it over and over until it's perfect. So definitely patience, and definitely not what someone day to day does. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and you know, to be able to use that as like my platform for like, you know, sharing my story and like sharing my journey through wrestling, because like I didn't have a smooth journey. Like it took me a lot of like sacrifice, hard work and patience just to be able to like be able to have like my first match and be able to detail all of that like through like on that Netflix series. Like I think it's like pretty special and rewarding for me.
That's amazing. Well, I can't say enough about, you know, what you've learned. You know, I've seen you a couple times in class, you know, from a distance. And it's amazing in a short period of time to see where you are, you know, months ago to where you are now. And I think that if you continue to trust your instincts and listen to those people who have, you know, the experience and your interests in, you know, helping you get to where you want to go, you'll be able to achieve. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Ooh, that's a good question. My favorite question to get. Hopefully, you know, I just want to continue growing in wrestling. I definitely, you know, like want to travel, you know, maybe be on TV in some time. Continue with pageantry. Hopefully be done with school because I intend on finishing school. And, you know, I just want to continue growing because, like you said, like, I've had like so much like opportunities, like even like in the short period of time, and like I've been seeing so much growth, and like that's just something that I wanted to continue to do, you know, continue to always be better, because it's just like once you get one opportunity, it's always like you get this opportunity, but now you have to continue working like even harder to get even more opportunities. So that's just something that like I've wanted to do, like just grow myself, grow wrestling, grow pageantry, grow my education, just grow as a person, you know. Like, always be better.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great note to end on. And, you know, we basically have introduced people to you right now. We're going to, you know, do a follow-up at some point down the road so that we can get a little more idea of what's going on, how your progress is coming, how your journey's going. And then we can also ask some of the odder questions, like, you know, who you would have as a tag team partner in the zombie apocalypse. So
you're like, that one probably take some time to figure out.
Well, hopefully it the zombie apocalypse doesn't happen sooner. Exactly. So, all right, Daisy Cortez, you have been a great guest. We're so glad that you took the time with us, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right. It's been a pleasure talking to Daisy Cortez today. Make sure you continue to follow her on her journey and see where she goes, because the most exciting thing about her is that the future is unlimited, and I can't personally wait to see where she goes in her career, in her life, and it's amazing to get this opportunity. And thank you once again for tuning in to Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.